Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Wow, just the presence of the Lord is so wonderful. Thank you for being here tonight. I want to continue on with what I had started last Wednesday night, and we'll see how far I get. Years ago, I heard a statement that just changed the way that I operate. And there are times that I've got to be reminded, and I love in this church that when I'll say something, I was just walking out of church the other day, and I was just talking about six grandkids, and five of them were on the front row Sunday. Did anybody see that? And so I'm walking out, and Valerie Swearingen is talking about how blessed we are. She's making some comment. I said, five grandkids all under the age of four. Now, that's tough. That's a tough place. And she said, you go ahead and proclaim that. Just go ahead and declare that. Go ahead, just. And I changed it right then. And I said, wait, I had the greatest day of my life on Sunday. In Jesus' name, I had five of my grandkids on the front row. And I mean, just like that, she was being funny, but she was right on.
Yeah, that's good.
And when she said it, I thought, I just preached on Wednesday night about words, and there I go again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can anybody else identify?
Yeah. Yeah.
You make a declaration that I declare I'm doing this different. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, good grief, what did I just say? What did I just do? And so we've got to continue to remind ourselves. Here's the statement I heard years ago. Your actions follow your expectations. And if you're going to expect it to be difficult, then I'm just telling you, it will be. If your expectation is you're going to be frustrated, guess what? Frustration just, see, your actions follow, your thinking follows, everything about your life follows what you're expecting. Now, I just want to add a couple of statements onto this. Expectations are one thing, words are another, but I want to talk about a lot of the way that they go together. Just to add this, your words, and I mentioned this last week, I'm not going to preach it all again, this part of it, can either set your expectations. See, words can set your expectations. You say, well, how do they set them? Well, you say something long enough, even if it's wrong, and you're going to start expecting it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be bad. You just start expecting calamity in your life, and you just watch how it just comes. No one likes me.
Yeah.
And you know what? Before long, no one likes you.
Yeah.
You just keep saying those things. I'm going to the doctor, and they're probably going to give me some bad news. And then you go, and if they said 10 things that were really great and one bad, that's what were you going to come home saying? Well, I was expecting it, and that's what they told me. Words are setting your expectations. Do you see that? Here's the other thing, though, that words can do. They can also be the response of your expectations. So sometimes they'll be on the front end and they'll help set them. Other times, what you're saying is exactly what you just expected. See, they can get your expectations correct, because when you start speaking things in faith and you say them because God said them, the next thing you know is you may not see them yet, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get to this more later. So one thing is, it can either set your expectations or it can be a response to what you expected. Now, words are interesting like that. People talk about what they believe is going to happen, but they also talk about what they just saw happen. Man, I just seen something that was just awesome. I don't know. Last night, I just went knowing that I was going to have a good evening and that I was going to enjoy some time once again with my new granddaughter. And you just come up to me afterwards. I'll show you picture after picture. She blew a kiss to me last night. Some may say she had gas, Chapman. That's not what it was. She just had her diaper changed. Your actions will follow your expectation. I'm expecting her to love her pawpaw, and she does already. 3 days in. See, words play into your expectancy. Yeah, yeah. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I talked about this last week. Just the book, the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, in the Hebrew, it means words, and it also means in Hebrew, bees. We were talking about this last week. It means words and it means bees. What in the world? Words and bees. That's what the name Deuteronomy means. And I don't know if you've ever studied that, but it's just a very interesting concept because words and bees, what do they have to do with each other? Well, I can tell you exactly what they have to do with each other. Words can bring honey to your life or it can bring a sting to your life. And so it's just very important to know that when in the Hebrew, a lot of words have two meanings, but they always go together. Yeah. Even though they may not seem it, you've just missed something. God is very, very smart when it comes to his language and you study more of it. You're like, wow. Yeah. Words create the life you're living. Is your life sweet or is it stinging? Is it hurtful? Is it painful? What does your life look like? Matthew 12, verse 36. I want you to hear what Jesus said. He said, I say to you, and this is where we ended last week, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. The words justified or acquitted, if you will, justified and acquitted, and then the word condemned. Being justified or acquitted means that you're free of blame. You're free of blame. Without guilt, you're shown to be in the light, in the clear. You're in good standing. To acquit means to decide that you're not guilty. Now, I love this passage because by your words, you're going to be shown to be right, or by your words, you'll be condemned. And condemned means to be pronounced unfit for use or guilty. By our own words, we can either be free of blame and without guilt, or we can pronounce ourselves guilty. It's very, very interesting, the Word of God, how what comes out of our mouth either puts us in a position to be used or it puts you in a position to be unfit for use. What's coming out of your mouth is either condemnation or it's edification. What about the middle? Well, the middle, Jesus said that you don't want idle words because those are the ones that aren't going to benefit you. So we've got to know that by our words, things happen. Proverbs 18:20, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. As I was praying about speaking tonight, I pray that every time I open my mouth, what's happening is people are hearing some wise words that will fill you. Now, if I'm real careful and it's not Ashley's words, but it's God's word speaking through me, then that can't not happen. It's going to be a good meal. The right words will bring satisfaction. Proverbs 21:23, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. Huh. And then it says, and then you'll stay out of trouble. I needed this verse early in life because I have always got in trouble for talking. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it was never that I wouldn't say anything. It's that I said too much. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut. That should have been pinned everywhere I was when I was young. And you stay out of trouble. Every time I got in trouble, it's because I opened my mouth. It was either trying to convince somebody to do something stupid or me saying, yep, I'll do the something stupid. Ecclesiastes 5:2, don't be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God's in heaven and you're on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. I like that. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. That's why I've said a lot, when you are listening to music, the words of music are very important. Go through your playlist. Oh, mom, dad, it's just a song. I understand it's just a song, but you know every word and you're singing along with them. It's coming out of your mouth. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Well, I'm not going to do that. I know I sung it, but you want to be careful what's coming out of your mouth. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. You say the right words at the right time in the right location, and I'm telling you, you won't believe what will happen to you. You won't believe what can happen to you. Matthew 12:36, just a lot of scripture here. I tell you, men will give account for every careless word he has spoken. You give account for every careless word that they speak. James 3:3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless, evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing some come pouring out of the same mouth. Blessing and cursing came out of the same mouth. You can be in church praising God and afterwards in a fight with your spouse, and you're sitting here saying things that, whoa, just a few minutes ago you were praising God out of the same, come on, everybody has experienced something similar where you were just praising God and now you're throwing people under the bus. What are you doing? Where's that curse come from? The tongue can be evil. It can be bad, bad, bad. So you got to be careful. Your tongue sets the course for your life. I want to read Mark chapter 4, verse 35, a story we read a lot here in this church because it has so many things to talk about in it. But Mark 4, verse 35 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Although other boats followed, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I just love this story. This fierce storm comes up, waves breaking into the boat. The boat's filling with water and Jesus is asleep. You gotta love this. Now, the boat's got to be making some motion, but that cushion had to be a good one. Oh, yeah. Mike Lindell, probably his ancestors. Jesus is sleeping at the back of the boat. The disciples, they wake him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? This story we read like it doesn't happen every day of our life, but it does. Pastor, you don't even know the storm I'm in right now. And you're right, I don't. And many here don't. But there's some people sitting in a crowd this size or that will hear this on podcast that's going through a horrible storm. It's terrible. Terrible storm. And they're calling out to the Lord and they're saying, hey, God, it's storming here. This is not good. And you're sitting here telling him like he don't know. Like he don't know that there's a storm happening. And you want to say, are you awake? God, I'm needing you like right now. Well, let's see what he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus wakes up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves. So he did two things here. He rebuked the wind and then he spoke. He rebuked the wind and he said to the waves. Now, I think it's really important to know. We know what he said to the waves. What did he say? Silence, peace, be still, depending on what interpretation you're. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. But there was two things he did. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves. Now, the word rebuke in the original Greek text is the word epitomeo. Epitomeo. Well, what's so important about that? Because it has two parts to the word in the Greek. The ETI of this in the Greek means to superimpose. And then tomeo means to fix evaluation upon. So Jesus steps up on the boat and he fixed an evaluation on what he was seeing. He said, let's check. He saw it and said, okay, I'm going to see where we're at and what's going on. He fixed an evaluation. And so he saw the wind and he fixed an evaluation on the wind. Well, how did he do that? He fixed it. He saw what was going on with the. What he did is he fixed an evaluation and then he used the spoken word to take care of what he evaluated. Yeah. Let me say it a little different. He set an expectation and then it came out of his mouth. Yeah. How do expectations and words go together? Silence and quiet and peace, or be still. He superimposed quiet and still on what his evaluation was. It's really cool. When you start breaking down the word and you start going, wow. See, we're in a storm. God, are you asleep? Nope. But what I'll do is I'll tell you what to do, because right after that, verse 39, he then tells all of them, said, what are you so fearful about? Do you not have any faith? Let me just say, in our world right now, fear is trying to be, it's just being evoked every time you turn the corner. Let me see how much more I can scare you. What does the Christian do? The Christian, epitomeo. They rebuke. How do they rebuke? They fix an evaluation upon. And they realize that what's happening is not going to happen where I'm at. Peace, be still, and it's going to be different. Well, I don't know that we have. Jesus set the expectation high for his followers. And I think there's a lot of followers not doing what he set up for us to do. His evaluation was only necessary for his expectation to then decide what he was going to say. So the expectation formed some words. And what he was saying is we need peace right now, because not everybody here has a pillow from Mike Lindell. I don't know. Something has to happen different, because I was sleeping and I was doing well and everybody else is freaking out. Does that not sound like our world right now? Christians can't be freaking out. I'm sounding like I'm freaking out. Christians don't need to be freaking out. Did you not see what the news just said? Do you not see what just happened? I see all of that. And I'm going to fix an expectation upon it. Yeah. I'm going to evaluate it and I'm going to have a response. And when it comes out of my mouth, peace is going to come into this situation. Wherever I am, I'm praying and believing that I am walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of with the power of the spoken word, he said peace, and peace came. Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He called things that are not as though they were. Tim Brooks years ago used an illustration, and I thought this is the smartest thing I've ever heard in my life, until I listened to Tom Underhill say the exact same thing on another CD. And I thought, that's where he got that. And so I'm going to give some credit to Tim and to Tom, and here's what I can tell you. I'll probably hear somebody else said it before Tom at some point. I don't know who said it, but it was one of the greatest illustrations I've ever heard that made sense to me. Years ago, Michelle and I, we had horses on our farm here. And we had them because our family enjoyed that. And really, it was the tool, it was the one thing that we both thought we could do together when our marriage was about destroyed. We went to a marriage conference. They said, you need to get a horse. Well, they didn't say that, but that's what we heard there. Because we had to find something that we both enjoyed. And there wasn't anything except for a horse. And so we went on this quest. We're going to buy a horse. And we went and we found, we were looking for a dead broke horse. Well, we found a really dead horse. And it was so dead that it appeared to be broke. So we get it home and we try to nurse it back. And I mean, this horse was just awesome. We loved it. But it was the idea that this horse was just so wonderful. We thought every horse would be like that. So we bought more. We kind of wanted those. We got blessed the first time. And the reason we did is it healed our marriage. And the rest of them, we came together to try to figure out what we were going to do before we shot them. Turn them into glue. Good grief. These horses were evil. But the first one brought us together and our kids would ride it. We were so thrilled about that. Here's what I can tell you. The ones after that, we would go out and we'd want to bring them in. And so what do you do when you want to bring a horse in? You call it. You yell. Hey, horse! Or whatever the horse's name is. You know, you just yell. Our first one, you didn't have to yell much. If it heard the door open, it was right there. But I just think it was too dead to walk to the back side of the property. You know, I mean, here's what was, when you go out to the pasture to get your horse, you don't just say, well, I don't see him. I don't see him, so I guess I don't have a horse anymore. I guess he's not there. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, what do you do? You call him. And I can't tell you how many times I called my horses. But I'm telling you, I'd yell, scream, holler. How long do you call them? Until they come. And you just keep calling and you keep calling. And here's the thing. I just never realized how I do this in other circumstances that I know something's there even though I can't see it. Come on. I know that horse is there. I just can't see it. And so what do? I call it till it comes. What are you doing in your circumstances of life? Are you calling peace until it comes? Because as a Christian, the Bible says you can have it. Well, just no peace in our home. What are you saying? There's no peace in your home. You just said, I'm not calling peace in my home. I'm telling you it's not there. I never stand out there and say, well, I don't have a horse. I never did that. I never stood, hey, Poncho. And I'd come out there and I never went back inside and I said, Poncho's not here. Well, how do you know? Because I called him and he didn't come. But that's what Christians are doing. They're acting like they don't have anything that's going to come into their life that God said are promises of theirs. So words create. What you're saying will bring things to you. Are you calling life into your home? Or are you calling death? Your home's a mess. Well, start saying it's not. Well, I don't know. I don't believe that. What I'm telling you is God gave some promises, and you better start calling them. Oh, but Pastor, I'm just so tired, and I don't have any energy yet. I don't have any energy at all. The chances of you getting energy when you keep saying you don't have any, you're not calling energy in. In the name of Jesus, I am well. I'm good. And good is in my home. Boy, I'm just telling you, they are evil. What are you saying? You create life and death with the power of your... Boy, someone just bring me a breath because I'm just too tired to draw one. The way people act. What are you saying? When you look at your life and you don't see what you're wanting to see, I'm telling you, that doesn't mean that it's not there. By the word of God, you call it until it comes. You call it until it comes. I'm not saying there aren't times that while you're calling, you're not shaking some food. I'm not saying that there aren't times that you're not getting out and walking around and making sure it can hear you. I'm going to do my part, and I'm not just going to live like it's coming. I'm just going to stand here and do nothing. I'm going to do it, but it's coming. It's coming into my life. I'm calling finances. I'm calling health. I'm calling peace. I'm calling joy. I'm calling a good relationship with my kids. I'm calling a good relationship with my grandkids. And I'm calling it until it comes. See, never say to your child, well, you're no good at this. What are you talking? I remember hearing this message and thinking, I don't know if I really believe this or not, but I believe the word, so I'm going to stand on the word and we're going to try this. Well, it wasn't too long after I heard this message, not preached it, heard it. I heard this message and I thought, what am I going to do with this? And I went home and my daughter, and she's sitting on the front row and she was struggling with math. And she came in and she goes, I'm just no good at math. I'm just not good at it. Ashlyn's good at math, but I'm not any good at math. There's other kids at school that are good at math, and I'm not good at math. And I said, wait a minute here. Who told you that? Well, there's just some people that aren't good at math. There's just some that aren't. I'm one of them. And you're not going to say that ever again. You are good at math. And you can do every math subject or every problem that gets put in front of you. And we're going to work through this, and you're going to start saying, I'm good at math. Yeah. And I watched for the next, not just 3 years, I watched my daughter call math into her life. Yeah. And now I'm talking about financially, one of the smartest young couples you'll meet is Kenan and Tristan Sims. Yeah. Yeah. Well, how'd that happen? Because they're good at math. Yeah. Now, what are you saying to you? You're right, honey. It's okay. That's your weak subject. You're not going to be any good there, probably. But parents do it all the time. You're creating death over your child because of what's coming out of your mouth. Don't let that come out of your mouth. You call good math into your kids. We got to watch what we're saying. Teaching kids at school. Well, you'll probably never be able to do that. Don't ever say that. Our staff doesn't say that. Parents shouldn't say that. Young people, don't say that to other people in your school. We're going to see a change in the way that we're thinking. We're going to be careful what we're saying. It'll change what your expectation is, and then you can ace that test. Well, I just don't know if I can do that. Be careful what you say. You wouldn't believe what you can do. My point here is you're only going to say what you expect to see happen. If you don't expect your horse to ever come in, you'll quit calling it. What are you expecting? Philippians chapter 1. Are y'all still with me? Paul said, my expectation and my hope will be found in Christ Jesus. I can live or I can die. But when it's all said and done, I found my hope in him. Where is your hope? Hope, your favorable or confident expectation. Your hope is in an unseen future. Right now, we can't tell what's going to happen a year down the road with this country. Well, I don't know what's going to happen 3 years down the road. I'm not saying we can tell, but in the name of Jesus, it's not going to affect his people, and I'm going to win as many as I can to the Lord. And we're going to do what we can to see a different outcome for our world and for our country. See, Paul was telling the church at Rome, if you can see it, then it's not hope. So what's your hope right now? My hope's not in a country. My hope's in Jesus. But if we get enough people's hope in Jesus, we can turn a country around. See that? How are we thinking? Hope is seeing things as an expectation that the power of God has made a way for you to experience something different than what it looks like could happen. If you want to see blinded eyes open, you've got to have an expectation in Jesus to open some eyes. If you want to see cancer healed, you've got to have an expectation that Jesus will heal cancer. Yeah. Will. See, if you want to see a drug addiction delivered, you've got to have an expectation in Jesus that he is a deliverer of any circumstance I find myself in. If you want to see depression flee, an expectation in Jesus to give you joy in the midst of life that would bring depression, but it's not going to in my life because of Jesus. You ever heard a story about blind Bartimaeus? So many scriptures. His expectation was to receive sight. His level of expectation can be seen in Mark chapter 10. Verse 46, let's read this. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to speak words loudly. It's called shouting. He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet, be quiet." Many people yelling at him. "Bart, shut up." He only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus heard him, stopped, and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you. Come on. I know we've been yelling at you. Come on, he called you." So Bart threw aside his coat. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. Now, I think this verse is very important. He threw aside his coat. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus said. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Verse 47, his level of expectation was heightened because he knew what Jesus could do. Do you know what Jesus can do? Then you better get your expectation a little higher. I'm telling you, anybody that would have been a fly on the wall of our home would have not had an expectation that our marriage could be healed. There's just no way. I can go back years ago and I can tell you there's no one around me expected a deliverance in this marriage. I have seen drug addicts, I've seen alcoholics that no one in their family, no one surrounding them had any expectation that they could be healed. And people start believing other people's expectations. I kind of started thinking the same thing. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I can stay married. I've had friends that were addicts, and I don't know if I can stay off of this or not. And what I can tell you is, if you don't raise your expectation and know that Jesus is near, that's what Bart realized. Jesus is here. His expectation was heightened. All of a sudden, do you see that? The level was so high that no one could keep him down. I mean, they're like, he's yelling. Why? Because his expectation was so high that it started getting out of his mouth. I'm telling you, we went to that marriage retreat, and I got a couple of verses, and I started speaking that all the time, and my expectation just went through the roof. If Tim and Terry Brooks can stay married, I'm telling you, I got a chance. So my expectation was raised. And the next thing you know is I started having an expectation, so I started watching what was coming out of my mouth was producing life for my marriage. Now, it took about 3 years. I just kept calling it until it came. But I had to keep the expectation. Had to keep the expectation right in my mind and not let everybody else's messed up expectations ruin what God had for me. I don't know if I'm helping anybody tonight. But addictions, no peace, kids estranged. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, whatever it is, you need to raise your expectation. You got to raise your expectation so the right things start coming out of your mouth. Jesus said in verse 51, your expectancy has made you whole. That's what he said, your expectancy. You expected what my promise was. Do you expect healing? Oh, I don't know if it's for me. Yeah, you better raise your expectation so the right thing starts coming out of your mouth. So many stories about this. I could go to Acts, the upper room. So many stories. But let me just conclude tonight. How are you doing with your level of expectation? Well, check your words. What are you saying? Because it'll tell me real quick what you're expecting. Your words will define what your expectations are. My hope is in Christ. Is it? What did Christ say was yours? I'm setting my myself in a place where I can expect Christ to do some great things in my life. Do you know one thing that I have learned is that a lot of people will take this message and make your expectation try to get over into someone else's life. Well, I'm expecting them to do something different. Mm-mm. You expect for what God said is available to you. And then you lead the way. Jesus was the one that got off the pillow and stood up and fixed an evaluation and then said the right words. And then everybody around him got the result of peace. So, well, I'm praying for my son or daughter, all right? Get around your son or daughter and let peace be around your son or daughter. See, your expectations need to start paving a path that other people are attracted to being with you, because where you are is clean water, still water, peaceful water. Life's good where you are. And if it is bad, they're watching you asleep on a cushion. Many pray this all the time. God, if it be your will. If the word says it's his will, then you don't have to pray that. I already know what his will is. I need to pray believing that what is coming is coming. Direct your faith with your words. Begin to thank the Lord for the answer in advance. Well, that's that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. No, that's calling your horse. That's what that is. That's calling your horse. Begin to thank the Lord in advance. Use your words to speak life instead of death. It might seem awkward at first. And I'm telling you, somebody will walk out of here and Valerie Swearingen and will correct you. But say praise God and just change what you're saying. See, I mean, I could have got all offended. I'm pastor. Who are you to tell me anything? No, I forgot that I preached this Wednesday night. And just like that, you change what you're saying. See, we've got to be reminded. Well, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm a loser. What? I'm sick, I'm tired. Quit that. I'm a child of God. I'm planting better seed for a good harvest and good fruit. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. And I know that God has a plan and a future and a hope. And it could come right this second. In fact, I think I'll just start walking in it. What are you saying? Have you ever heard, and I want to end tonight with a phrase that I heard the other day and I wanted to bring, because I hear it periodically and I always think this when I hear it. Speak of the devil. You ever heard that? Speak of the devil. This phrase is used to acknowledge the coincidence of someone arriving at a scene just at the time that they're being talked about. That's the definition of how we use that. Clearly, nothing sinister is implied, and it's just a jokey way of referring, if that's a way of saying it. It's just a way to kind of be funny, referring to a person appearing. In fact, here's the thing, it's been used for years. Many people are not aware that prior to the 20th century, the term wasn't meant lightheartedly at all. The full form goes like this: speak of the devil and he will appear. The phrase originated in England, where it was and still is more often given as talk of the devil. Talk of the devil, here he is. Speak of the devil, I'm not giving him any credit. Speak of the Lord, look who just walked in. Speak of the Lord in his presence. See, what are you speaking of? What are you talking about? I know that that's just a phrase that, well, speak of the devil, there he is. No, speak of Jesus. See, we've got to watch what we're saying. Well, I didn't mean to say that like that. I know, now you know, so don't do it. You have knowledge. Knowledge becomes responsibility. So have the right response. Responsibility, be responsible. Have the right response. What are you saying? Is your hope in failure, or is it in something great for the kingdom of God? My hope is in greatness for the kingdom of God. Hope you got something out of that. Y'all stand with me this evening.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.